Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back at 17 till the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with this little Who. That's the Who bringing us back, singing about Who Are You? And I am Jim Blasingame, and our guest is John Harrison, the Reverend John Harrison, CFP, Certified Financial Planner, author of Making Mammon Serve You. What's the website again, John?
It's www.aspirefa.com.
All right, so check that out. Find his book wherever books are sold. John, we're talking about our bucket list for estate planning. We talked earlier about getting organized, and what's our digital estate? You talk about that in this list. What is a digital estate?
Yes, it's kind of a newer concept and one that people often forget about. Some of your most prized possessions may not actually exist in the real world, but they exist online. And that might be anything from years' worth of email correspondence to your Facebook page, particularly if you're a business owner. It could be your Facebook fan page. It could be such things as online bank accounts you have someplace that doesn't have bricks and mortars buildings. It could be your collection of photographs on
Flickr. Should this include your passwords?
Absolutely, because again, if you're incapacitated or died, then no one can access those things.
Right.
And you want them to be able to. So typically I tell people, you know, at the very least, let your attorney safeguard a list of the passwords to all these various online things and give it to a person that you have designated when certain events happen, such as your incapacity.
Maybe even lock them up and just tell people, all right, here's the key when you, when you have it, you know, when something happens, here's the key, and go open it up if you need it. I mean, obviously there's an element of trust here. You got to have that. So, but you're right. I mean, there's a lot of digital stuff that we take for granted nowadays, don't we? Like online banking.
Yes, and some of these things, not just bank accounts, but can really be worth money. Again,
well, PayPal. You can have a large PayPal account.
Mm-hmm. And even something like your business website or your blog has potentially economic value.
Right.
And those things will need to be managed or at least wound down after your incapacity or death, and someone needs to have the authority and the know-how to do that.
Right, right. What's next?
I would say while you're getting organized like this, don't think of it just in terms of worst-case scenario, what happens if I die or I'm incapacitated, but you can use the organizer as a yardstick for your life. Once you have everything you own, everything you owe, all nice centrally listed, you can use it to take stock and ask yourself, am I where I want to be? Am I making the progress I wanted to make? If not, what can I do to adjust things? It's sort of a good measuring stick for are you getting downfield as quickly as you want to get financially? So don't think of the organizer just in terms of when horrible things happen,
right,
but use it sort of as an ongoing measuring stick.
Right.
And I would say the next big thing is make sure you have at least the basic estate planning documents done. I was surprised to read a statistic recently that said 60 to 70% of Americans don't have a will.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some basic things, a will, a medical healthcare proxy, a HIPAA authorization form. HIPAA is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Those sort of documents as a minimum.
A living will?
Will enable things to go well.
A living will? Is that?
A living will is something that's recognized in most states, not in every state. A living will is a way for you to tell a health care provider what sort of health care you would want in an extreme circumstance.
How far do you want them to go to try to keep you alive?
Yes.
Do not resuscitate, whatever.
Exactly. And unlike the other documents I mentioned, they're not universally recognized, and a form that's recognized in your home state may or may not have validity if you're hospitalized out of that jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have it at the very least because it communicates to your health care providers what it is that you want, but it doesn't necessarily have the force of law everywhere.
Well, and I'll tell you, give your people that you trust, somebody, your children, your whoever, give them limited power of attorney, because without that, it really gets messy, doesn't it?
It really does.
I've been through this with both of my parents, and it folks, you're doing yourself, you're doing everybody a favor. Without it, you have a chance of creating a lot of tension, maybe even some ill feelings, bad feelings between people who you want to love each other while you're going through this.
Exactly.
That document is really important, isn't it?
Exactly. There's two. There's the healthcare proxy, which enables people to make medical decisions on your behalf, and there's a power of attorney, which will extend to financial things that people can do on your behalf.
And don't worry that somebody might get control of you. Most states, that as far as I know, John, will protect you. In other words, somebody can't go too far without having to go to court and prove that they're behaving in your best interests.
That's correct. So these documents are for your protection, and they're not going to create a big liability for you or a big risk.
And also, this is not just for the elderly. I mean, things can happen to anybody, right?
Yeah, the classic scenario is you have a college-age child who's, let's say, 19 years old. In most states, that makes them a legal adult. Mm-hmm. But they're still your child. And they go off to school, something happens at school, and they're in the college infirmary or the hospital or something. And you get a call from their roommate saying, you know, hey, why aren't you here? They're in the hospital. If you were to call the hospital and say, hey, how's my son or my daughter? Right. I understand they're there. They won't even confirm that they're there, absent a HIPAA authorization
that
for
document.
Them to release medical
information. Folks, you need to check into these things. And John, I thank you for bringing them to our attention. We're going to wrap up with a couple of more great final thoughts on this, folks. Your bucket list for estate planning with John Harrison after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.